Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to pull one up. Jokic for the win.
Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there! Hartman! Jackpot, Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into 1080 The Fan and Sports. No. Football Sunday.
I need you to bring it down way. It's too early for all the energy, Joe.
You didn't think I had
it. Too early.
Energy.
I didn't think you had it, especially after the night you had.
You didn't think I had it.
I did not, because just before it's a I gotta tell you guys out there that are listening, like the switch that hits for some of these fan hosts. When the light goes on is incredible. Like, especially for like a Dirt and Sprague or something like that, that starts super early in the morning. Like before they start, it's like, oh man, so tired. Like, I don't know if we can do this. That red light goes on and it's, hey, Portland, what's going on? Like, geez, I don't see how you can do it. Cause even when you're gone, it's like nine. It's, hey, what's up guys? Like, it's Rashad here. It's
Portland. I was definitely
it's early.
I was definitely laying down on that couch for the last 30 minutes before this show started.
I have a question for the both of you.
All right.
Because I know, Jordan, you typically, when they're Duck games, you typically work late. Joe, you may go to the Duck game depending on who's playing and what time. Have either of you considered coming in early and just crashing on the yellow couch before the show starts?
Absolutely not.
I don't think I've ever slept overnight at this studio, whether it's here or the old building. I don't know if I've ever...
I haven't done that here at Odyssey, but I did do that at my previous place of employment.
There have been nights that I've been out way longer than I'm supposed to, and knowing that I have to be here earlier, 8 o'clock show, obviously our normal 9 o'clock start time, and I'm like, you know what, man? I wonder if I'll get in trouble for just going to crash... On the couch for the next 5 hours.
Will not get in trouble.
Yeah, like yo, like that's. I mean, sometimes, and I can imagine considering the traffic coming back from Eugene yesterday. You know, and Jordan, we kind of talked about it before the show started. Like, I'd be okay with coming in and just seeing you crashed out on the couch with the little blanket over you. You know. And
yeah, I'm getting old.
I understand.
I need my bed. Like, I'm such a wuss that, like, I need that memory foam.
Yeah, last night, sure. It was one of those where I could have gone up I-5 and gone to the girlfriend's house, but also I was gross. I made the mistake of wearing pants yesterday.
Yeah.
Down to Eugene.
No.
And it was a toasty one. It was the only thing that could have made it yesterday better was if I would have worn shorts. But I did not anticipate an 80-degree day in Eugene.
Well, a loss for Joe Fisher's gooch and legs.
I was swimming in ball soup down there. Did not prevent me from hitting those post corners in the parking lot, though. I brought a football. I was reeling those things in. Over the shoulder, one-handed, doesn't matter. I was putting on a clinic.
What an event to be at yesterday. Like, even if you weren't at the game, I had buddies that were like, man, I just went up there. Like, and just try to figure it out from there. Like, whether I get into the game or not is irrelevant. I just need to be in there with all that energy. So I'm sure you weren't the only person running post corner routes, you know,
Poco, out there. Yeah. Sluggo routes.
No, for
mesh.
Sure.
Just what?
What's a sluggo route?
I believe it's somewhat. Honestly, I don't know.
No, I'm really not trying to call you out. I'm like, I just don't even know what that is.
You can call Dusty. Guaranteed, he knows.
It's a double move that involves a receiver appearing to run a slant before cutting straight up field. Oh, okay. So it's basically run a slant or post and then right up the seam.
Okay, gotcha.
There you go. Sluggo. What a great football term.
All right, sluggo. If I hear that in a play now, I will know what that means.
But, you know, we're definitely get into it, but there's nothing better than a college tailgate. College tailgate.
I have the NFL beat by leaps and bounds, depending on what school you're at.
And I'd have to take your word for it, because this little inexperienced 32-year-old has never been to an NFL game before. So.
Oh, no. Just the tailgate. Like, I mean, again, where do you get into the game?
Nor a game, you know, nor a tailgate.
Yeah, but NFL tailgates. Tons of barbecue and everything, but you know, here's the great thing about college football, and I've been lucky enough to go to like an SEC college game.
Actually, everywhere.
I went to the number when Florida played Tennessee, and this was back in like 2004, and Tennessee was like ranked number eight, and Florida was ranked number four. This is Chris Leak is Florida's quarterback at this point.
Yeah.
Eric Ainge, you know, I think Hillsborough's owned was Tennessee's quarterback at that point. And
throwbacks.
The great thing about college football is like they're usually in these really small remote towns, right? Eugene isn't Portland by a long shot, but as a college town, like that's what they do. That's college football. Like, so everybody is bought into the idea of U of O up there, right? Here in Portland, everybody hasn't bought into the idea of Blazers. Some people don't even like the Blazers. Their favorite team is Golden State, or favorite team are the Lakers or whatever. But in Eugene, everybody's favorite team is U of O, right? Is the Oregon Ducks. And so that party is everywhere. Like, everywhere parties.
Yeah.
Like, and so when you're like, in NFL, like, you'll find some bars and stuff like that that do stuff, but everybody doesn't care that the Seahawks are playing in Seattle. Everybody cares in Eugene. Everybody cares in Tuscaloosa. Town, everybody cares in Knoxville that, you know, that football is happening right now. And so that party is just crazy different.
There's nothing like driving into a college town. Like, you, for instance, Eugene, you get off the exit off of I-5, and then you take, what is it, like 295 or something like that, and you immediately just start to see duck flags everywhere. Like, you know you are in Duck University, USA.
Even on the drive down there, when you see the flags, like, yep, I know where they're going.
Oh, I love
see
that.
See the big sticker on the back of their window, like, yep.
Oh, I shouted exactly at no less than three Duck fans getting my coffee, like, in the parking lot on the way just out of Wilsonville up here to the station yesterday. It's like, Skodex!
The energy yesterday was crazy. Like, typically...
Some would say palpable.
When you get into, you know, when we'll get into the game and everything like that, but when there's a big team, a Michigan, an Ohio State, Alabama, that's on your schedule, you know, Florida State, you know, we've had that whole debacle at some point, like, man, this was the most confident I've ever seen Duck fan into going into this game. There was nobody that was like, yeah, it's gonna be a tough one, it's gonna be, and of course I think they knew that, but everybody's like, yeah, we're gonna get this game,
the closer and closer we got, the more nervous I got. And that's usually how it goes for any of my teams, is that like at the beginning of the week I'm like, oh yeah, let's do this, baby, let's go. Yeah, I think that we can win. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling real good. And then we get to about Friday night, and I'm like, I'm real nervous.
Oh, this could be bad, right?
I'm a nervous mess. Well, what set me off, and we'll get into it a little bit more with this game, but Thursday night, I go to Cannon Beach, stay overnight at Cannon Beach.
Nice.
And I see two different people wearing Buckeye hats. And at Cannon Beach, one was out on the town walking around, and then someone, me, my son, the girl, we were at the swimming pool at the hotel we were staying at, and we're just enjoying ourselves, and then two dudes walk in, one of them wearing an Ohio State hat, the other wearing a Washington Huskies shirt. And I was like, whoa.
What are you guys doing here? How did you guys
become
friends?
Anything to do with this. What the hell? Like, And so I saw two Buckeye hats. And then the next morning we go out and get breakfast. I see a dude in an Ohio State Buckeye sweatshirt.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then by Friday night, once we got back home, because we just stayed one night over at the coast, we get back Friday, me and my girlfriend, we go out to eat at a place in Dundee.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting there, and it wasn't like any Ohio State like garb, but this lady was wearing a very like Ohio State red sweater with like gray stripes on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm saying to my girlfriend, I'm like, I think she's wearing that because she's an Ohio State fan.
She's a Jim Tressel fan at heart.
I'm about to ask her. Should I ask her? Just raise a scene inside this really nice restaurant and just, hey, why are you wearing that?
Hey. What's up with those colors? You're banged on her?
You're a Buckeye fan, aren't
you? What's up with them colors, cuz?
So what's she saying? All the rich Ohio State Buckeye fans kind of headed out, did a little coastal trip before
they were in the building
headed to Eugene.
That's what really just chapped my ass about yesterday is a lot of those Ohio State fans are like, oh, let's go to Oregon. Let's go to the Oregon Duck. We can make a nice little weekend out of it in Oregon. We can go to Cannon Beach. We can go to Wine Country. We can stay a couple days in Portland, go to the game. Oh, it will be lovely. This is life and death, okay? Well, this ain't a game to us.
That was a great way to end their week then. Like you looked at all the cool stuff that Oregon has to offer. Welcome to God's country, right? Yes. Go to the beach, you know, go to the river, do all that stuff. And it was just nice enough last week to where if you did make a week out of it, like you got some pretty solid, you know, weather out of Portland and, you know, early to mid October at this point.
I will see.
So for them to go home with the stink face last night, you know, knowing that, oh man, we got to catch an early flight tomorrow, and we spent $500 to come out here to this game to go home with the loss, albeit a great game. Like, I mean,
that is maybe, I don't know, maybe eighth or ninth game I've seen at Autzen in my life, and that was easily the closest best game that I've seen. It's been Ducks blowout. I mean, they're so great at home that most of the time they are winning, and they're winning big. And going through all the games I've been to, that is easily the closest game, easily the best game. Obviously the best opponent that has ever come through that stadium. But yes, I mean, it was just a great game from beginning to end. There were no lulls, and I made sure not to leave my seat or miss any action. I think I missed
I'll pee here. Thank you.
Yeah. I think I missed one or two plays because I had to go get myself a glizzy. I had to go get myself a pork missile. And
some nachos and a dog, of course.
I had to get a dog, and I had to get a dew in me. I had to get some caffeine. I could tell my throat was getting a little raw. It wasn't good. And whoa. So I had to get that replenishment in me. And as I got back down to my seat, right as I got down there, big old touchdown by the Ducks. It was great timing on my part.
Very important question. Do you think that those same Ohio State fans you saw touring our Oregon coast this last weekend, and I really do hope they enjoyed everything Oregon has to offer, including our Oregon Ducks, do you think going back to the airport this morning they are wearing said same Ohio State gear?
Yes.
You really think so?
But they shouldn't.
No, I would think they're kind of hiding in shame.
I hope they stopped at the Duck store and got some stuff to take back. But
camo.
It depends on how disappointed you are in the loss. There are some people that look at this loss and go, man, you lost a close game to a great team. There are other people that are going to look at this loss and say, there's no way that Ohio State should have lost to Oregon. Considering, if you're being real, considering all the, just look at the Ohio State's defense, man, just All American on that team. Like, in a lot of Ohio State's eyes, and let's be real, it's still Oregon. That's what I'm pretty sure a lot of people in the Big Ten still kind of feel like, yeah, I mean, they're here now, but it's still.
Pat McAfee just kept bitching and moaning the entire few days. This is really far. Oregon is really far.
Get over it.
It's like, true. I mean, and it's being real. Like,
said
Oregon,
multiple
Washington.
Multiple times over the last couple of days.
There are no other places, you know, that number one, that they're doing like a lot of like college game day or anything like that. Like, They might go to USC.
To Berkeley last week.
I'm saying they might go to USC, but like as far as like travel, like isn't Oregon and like the Blazers aren't there? They're like the furthest travel for any team like in the league.
Yeah, but he also lives in Indy, where there's a direct flight from nowhere to. Like at least from Portland, you have to connect. So unless he's got the ESPN private jet, which I'm assuming he does, so then I don't even know why he's bitching even further because of that. Like it's
Portland's
probably
deep, bro. It's a long ride.
It's like a 3-hour private jet stop. That's it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, hey.
It's just Chicago. What is it? Three hours
to Portland.
Minutes?
I mean, I'm sure there's an airport in Eugene, like somewhere.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
So he literally flew from Indy directly into Eugene, and he's still bitching.
He might have flew into Portland. Who knows?
You know, he strikes me as a commercial guy.
Pat McAfee seems really down to earth. He strikes me as a commercial guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He's one of the homies. Man of the guys.
Man of the people.
Want to have a beer
he's
with
a WWE that guy. Announcer, man. Pat McAfee is cool.
All right, let's get into it. If you went to the game last night, then text in to the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. That's 503-864-6FAN. If you did not go to the game, still text in. Share your thoughts on the Ducks game. Share your thoughts on the Beavers game. Oof. Share your thoughts on the college football Saturday and the games that are to come on this NFL Sunday. But let's get right into it. The biggest game in Oregon Ducks football history, perhaps, at least in Autzen history. Let's break it all down right here on Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass, 1080 The Fan. Well, the biggest game in Autzen Stadium history, the only top five matchup in Autzen Stadium history. It Crazy. Goes the Ducks' way, 32-31. I was in the stadium last night. That is, like I said, the best game that I have ever been to. At Autzen Stadium, that is a, I would say, top two sports attendance moment for myself.
It's definitely a top one ticket to get, man. Like Joe said, man, forget the lights and power this year. We're going to the Ducks game.
That's not true.
Yeah. That was a Super Bowl price. Seriously. I mean, not quite Super Bowl price, but we're $400 to $600 a ticket, I think.
Oh, I mean, there were some people slinging their tickets for a grand each.
Oh, my.
I mean, I know some
dumb dumb bought it. It was like, yeah, that's a great price.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of scarlet in that building.
They were deep.
More than I would have liked. I will give Ohio State fans one thing, is that we were at a tailgate, and there was like an Ohio State kind of setup where they had their own little inflatable Brutus the Buckeye that was on top of their tent, and they had a few flags that were flying and stuff. Oh, yeah. And one of the flags,
that's pretty dope.
One of the flags said, Michigan equals poop. Just that was it. All it said was Michigan equals poop.
We are united in that.
I was like, you know what? I don't even hate Michigan as much as you do, but I'm going with that. I'm going with that from here on out. Michigan equals poop. I love it. So that Ohio State, they get a tip of the cap for me on that.
Welcome to the Big
Ten. For the third grade of humor.
Welcome to the Big Ten. I don't know if it's as hostile in the Pac-12. Right, I don't know if you know.
I think you're right.
I don't remember like
my goal was to be as hostile as possible towards any sort of Ohio State fan or anybody, because I want to make sure they don't want to come back to Autzen after this.
I mean, I remember this was like the biggest game at the time for Oregon's football program. I think 2004 against Michigan. I remember that game. Yeah, Jason Fife, the year
playing,
after Joey Harrington,
number
left.
Three Michigan. Mm-hmm. I believe they were number three ranked nationally.
Yeah, Jason Fife led Oregon to a win. They appeared on the Sports Illustrated cover the week after, like quack quack or whatever the heck they said. Like the Ducks literally were introduced to the national stage with that game. And I remember like a Michigan fan sitting next to me, and I'll never forget like his very very nice demeanor. You know. It was just like a very, like, I'd say middle-aged, just very, very chill, single guy, just came out to see Autzen Stadium and kind of check out this little hole in the earth here in Eugene, Oregon, and left very surprised. And I'll never forget that, but that, for me, was a representation of Big Ten Michigan fan that was obviously very inaccurate because, yeah, this is foaming at the mouth football that we have entered
with
the Ducks now.
What I'm loving seeing after this game, because, I mean, it's just a lot of these big programs, they do not come out this far west. And when they finally get to go to Autzen, and again, I am not a well-traveled person. The only college football stadium I have ever been to is Autzen Stadium. So this is all I know. is what Autzen is.
You got to get up to Pullman, bro. Seriously, and I'm not trying to just toot Patrick's horn here, but he like I will toot Patrick's horn. Like they've got a good one.
One of the best college environments, college towns in the Pacific Northwest, in the country, really.
Ooh. Yeah, I wish their team's success matched the energy that you'll get in Pullman. You know, but really, I mean, Husky Stadium. Like, I mean, you know, being a
glorified high school stadium, I don't want to hear it.
I'm saying, but that, again, that energy when they're going, it's like, you can hear it. Like, you can hear it from
I will say further away. Like, they do have something going with the whole sailgating thing where they have, where they're right by the lake there.
That's
and,
dope.
Yeah, and they've got a bunch of sailboats all
very
docked
McCubby
and everything.
Cove kind of, you know, kind of feel that you have over there.
Get down with that. Get down with some seafood. By the way, had a great clam dip yesterday out at the tailgate. A smoked clam dip. Oh,
did you make it? No. We're no Sandoz this time.
No Sandoz. No bison Sandoz. No breakfast sandwiches. Yeah, if I would have been driving and I would have had my own little parking spot, oh yeah, I would have brought down the Coleman with me, cast iron, skillet and all. I would have thrown down. But I did not have to worry about that this time. What I love seeing, though, as far as the tweets, reactions go from people that did experience Autzen for the first time. You know, here's someone on Twitter, hat tip to Oregon Autzen, loudest football game I've ever been to. Another one, I've been in a lot of loud stadiums in my life. Autzen is the only place it was too loud to think. Someone said, leaving the game, an Ohio State fan said, I couldn't explain Autzen to someone who's never been here. My ears are ringing. Everything's ringing. I literally told Rashad this morning, I was like, I woke up and my ears and like my head were still ringing. And I didn't even, like, yes, I drank, but I didn't drink that much. To the point where I was hungover and I was just a mess this morning. It was just, I was exhausted.
Well, I felt like
I played 72 snaps out there.
There's a couple things there. One, you're getting old, right? And so that bounce back, yeah, that bounce back is a little,
don't say that,
a little harder than
y'all
you want
say
it to
that.
Be. They don't say that. But number two, I think it just gives credit to, you know, you just said like teams don't really want to come out here because I think a lot of people still, unfortunately, with all the success, man, little old Oregon and Eugene, I'm not going out there. There's we don't need to schedule a game out there.
It's a lose-lose.
If NBC just showed you anything yesterday is that is arguably the most rockin'est stadium in all of college football. And this is including the Horseshoe and this is including the Big House and all those other, man, there's something special about that small, and it encompasses Oregon perfectly. It's small. Like it's kind of underrated as a place to play, but then you get there and you're like, holy hell. Like
I remember fighting with a chick.
There's a lot
on,
happening right here.
I remember fighting with a chick on a like Tinder or Hinge or something about Autzen Stadium because she went to Clemson and she's like, oh yeah, I've heard Autzen is pretty all right stadium. I was like, pretty all right. I was like, it's legitimately one of, if not the loudest stadium. She's like, yeah, that's cute. That's funny. I'm like, look it up. Fan? I was like, you Google this. Yeah. Look at all these quotes. I started sending her quotes from other coaches that had been to Autzen before. Like, let's just say that that match did not go anywhere.
No. This is as far as it goes. Like I've been, like I said, I'm going to an SEC game, being at Rocky Top, being in Knoxville, and seeing being in that gaudy orange because I was dating a girl who, you know, was going to Tennessee at that time. But being that ugly ass orange, being in that crowd, they sing.
I remember your story about that you just hate Tennessee.
Oh man, I hate Tennessee. But that environment, I got to be honest, at that moment against Florida at that point, it was pretty cool to be in that building and see it, you know, rocking and rolling and everything like that. So Eugene is just the more, I don't even call it an intimate party because it's smaller and everything, but man, it's the loudest it's gonna get. Like they're partying in Eugene, and they're probably still partying right now.
Autzen Stadium record 60,129 fans last
crazy.
Night.
I think a jet engine is like 120 decibels. The Autzen Stadium crowd had to be at least that yesterday. So
yeah, they're saying somewhere around like the 128 mark,
and that is literally so y'all for 3-4 hours sat in front of a jet engine. Yeah. That's why your heads are ringing and your bodies are feeling it this morning. But damn it. We love you, those of us that weren't there and watched it. We appreciate the effect that you had on the game because, oh my goodness, you really, it was just such a joy watching those false starts and those delay game penalties.
Oh God, the false starts, when they had that drive, I think there was back-to-back false starts. I mean,
yes.
that just sets the place off even more.
Yeah.
Cranks up the decibels even about 10, 20 years more.
Yeah, don't make a mistake. That almost interception should have been called an interception. Oh. Like the second play of the game was like, oh man. Like,
which on review, and again, seeing it live and in person, you're not sure what it looked like, but getting in the car after the game and looking up highlights and looking up the TV broadcast, yeah.
Oh no,
that was an interception.
No, watching on TV, you were like, that's an interception. That's an interception. At first, as soon as he came up with it, it's like, yeah, he's got that. Then they showed a few more replays.
Yeah,
really tell, and then they finally
even
showed the
possession
one.
Possession of it, like yeah. It was basically kind of just bobbling in his hands and gut and everything. And then it just Jeffrey Bosa rolled over. I believe it was Bosa on it.
Yeah,
yeah, I think you're right. I was full on screaming at the TV at that point. I mean, we're third play in, and I'm just like, we're not even looking at it. We're not even looking at it.
Yeah,
like I was freaking out.
This from the Vancouver Ford text line, guys. I'm a 20-year season ticket holder. Last night was awesome. Imagine how loud it would have been if 40% of the crowd wasn't Ohio State fan, Mike in Salem. Yeah, listen, I won't go 40%, but there was a good amount of Scarlet.
There was a lot. Listen, when that game started on TV and I looked at all that red in the crowd, I was like, oh, my God. They came out in droves for Ohio State.
And I know, yeah, a lot of people were upset about that, but my buddy Tanner, he was talking in the group chat after. He's like, he was pissed. He's like, this is unexcusable. Basically, not even a home game.
Nope.
And I was just like, okay.
And guess what?
I was like, listen, there's a lot out here, but not a home. It's definitely still a home game.
But Oregon fans, new members of the Big Ten, this is how they roll. They travel. They're going to come to the game.
Yeah.
If it's a big enough game, they're going to be in the building, whether you're Michigan, whether you're Penn State,
Illinois, I've heard that there's going to be, a good contingent coming out.
They've got the means to be able to do it. So Oregon fans, and this is more Joe than me, start showing up. So when you play at the big house.
Don't sell your damn tickets.
Yeah, when you play at the big house next year or when you play at the horseshoe or whatever, show up. Make sure you're there. I know it's going to be tough because that ticket, I think it might be cheaper to fly to Oregon than it is to fly to somewhere else. But, hey, man,
well,
got to travel.
The biggest away game I want to say left on the schedule for Oregon is Camp Randall and playing Wisconsin at the end of the year. Second to last regular season game. Never mind. Michigan. My bad. But Michigan, I mean, Wisconsin's playing better. But those are a couple of their toughest road games left. They have only three road games left on their schedule. That is next Friday at Purdue. On November 2nd is when they'll go to Michigan. And then November 16th, they'll be going to a chilly Wisconsin to play the Badgers then. Let's take a break, though. Let's start talking about the game itself, though. You know, love talking about Autzen. I was saying to someone before the game, I was like, I was pointing to Autzen, and I was like, inside that stadium, it's one of my favorite places on earth. It's one of the best settings.
Safe space.
Yeah, just love it. Absolutely love it. And it did not disappoint yesterday. And also, check the bucket list item. First field rush of my life, baby. Got on that field.
I'm not getting on that field. That looked like chaos.
Oh, it was. It was. And at one point, Lanning, after he did his interview, he was walking to the tunnel, trying to get to the tunnel, and it was kind of basically walking right down the middle of the field, like headed towards like the goalpost, which I don't know if you saw. The goalpost was covered by like 40, 50 different police officers. They were not letting anybody get near
this goalpost out, bro.
But when Dan was like trying to leave, and there was just essentially a small, tight circle around him that was like protecting him. That was it felt like almost like a crush was happening because mm-hmm. of the amount of movement and people moving with him and yelling, let's go, Dan, and giving him prop. Like, it was just, that part was absolute chaos. I was with, like, Kurt and Cooley and all of them. At that point, they were gone. Yeah. I was by myself at that point. I didn't know what happened. Everybody disappeared from my group. But absolute scene. Autzen showed out. And they won the game, which in those type of environments, those close games at Autzen with the Ducks, that's two now this year, two games where it's like, they usually don't pull those out. The Boise State game was one. And now this game with Ohio State, they are victorious. Again, they went 32-31. And let's get into it. Let's break it all down. What we saw from offense, defense, Ohio State itself. I mean, great game. Amazing game that we saw last night. Let's get right into it right here, Football Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ducks win.
They get the dub 32-31 over Ohio State. This on the Vancouver 4 text line. Ducks win. Beavers and Colorado lose. Yesterday was college football nirvana. And I will add to that, my friend on the text line, that Washington also lost too. So, I mean, what a day.
UNLV didn't lose.
Run, Rebs, run,
Let's
baby.
Let's go.
Hey, that sets up a big matchup next week in Corvallis.
Guess who's going to Corvallis next week?
Woo! Let's
Absolutely.
Go.
I see my alma mater, man.
Rashad takes Corvallis.
Yes.
Cor Vegas, baby. Corganistan, I think, is what they call it sometimes.
What?
No? Really? Somebody calls it that?
Never heard that one.
No. I think, was it, they do call Spokane Spokanistan sometimes.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. But that actually, that plays.
All right.
Spokane.
Pretty good game, though, yesterday. Pretty good game. My favorite part about it was the offense. The offense being able to take deep shots. Dylan Gabriel looking like he just didn't give an F out there. Throwing big, long passes. Really just letting the offense loose. The run game was decent. You know, I mean, Jordan James, he averaged 5 yards a carry. There were times where it definitely felt like they weren't getting as much of a push as you would have liked. I think the run game picked up in the second half a little bit more, started getting a little bit more chunk plays on the running game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Dylan Gabriel, he showed up. I was saying earlier in the week that, you know, as ridiculous as it sounded, and it's like every game comes down to which quarterback plays better, this is where I felt like the quarterback that made the least amount of mistakes was going to be the one that ended up winning. And it's kind of funny because the way that this played out is Will Howard didn't make a whole lot of mistakes either.
No.
But the one he made was magnified very much so at the end. But again, I was just extremely impressed with Dylan Gabriel, how he played with his arm, the huge touchdown late, which I think is the one that didn't give them the lead. Well, it gave them the lead at the time, I believe. But that big 25, 30-yard touchdown run that he had, I mean, his performance yesterday, he had to play a perfect game, and for the most part, he did. And taking those deep shots, those deep long passes, finding guys all over, I mean, you had four different receivers with at least a 30-yard completion. Seeing those big electric plays, I mean, that is something that Oregon fans have felt like that's part of their program, right? Like big explosive offense, whether it's no matter who the coach is, no matter who the offensive coordinator is, that's what Oregon fans kind of cling on to, is having that really explosive, big electric offense. And that's what I felt like we got yesterday, especially out of the passing game. And I absolutely loved it. It was my favorite part of the game itself, was seeing how well the offense performed. I don't know if they got to the 500 yard mark, total yards, but they got damn close. Yeah, 496.
Yeah.
So seeing them put up almost 500 yards on an Ohio State defense who has studs on both sides of the ball, that was the most impressive part to me.
And, you know, almost 350 through the air for Dylan Gabriel. And he hasn't had a 300-yard game since Idaho at the beginning of the season. Like, so this was the best game that he's played. But quietly, Dylan Gabriel has been playing. You know, I think we'll take away the Michigan State game last week because he threw – or last week, yeah.
Yeah.
Threw a couple of interceptions there, and that was probably his worst performance, but they blew out Michigan State by 21 points, you know. So it didn't really matter. But yesterday when it mattered, when it was magnified, he played the best game he's played as an Oregon Duck yesterday, which is crazy because if he's not an Oregon Duck yesterday – he probably gets steamrolled by Texas yesterday, right? So we forget about that. I mean, yeah, we.
I'm gonna guess that Oklahoma would have had a little bit better performance with him.
They would have had a little bit better. They would have been a little better, but if you saw that game, there was a lot of holes for Oklahoma yesterday, and I don't think Dillon Gabriel would have been able to make that up. So on the other side, you look at that for him. It's like, man, my old team that I left just got blown the F out, and we just beat the number two team in the country at home, and it was really because of me. Like, Dillon Gabriel played as great a game as he's played. Like I said, since he's been there, no interceptions. He had some amazing passes in between. They were like, oh, yeah, that's a touchdown. Like, as soon as it left his hands, I want to say it was not the one to Tez Johnson, but, like, kind of corner of the end zone yesterday, I was like, oh, that's a brilliant pass.
Evan
right
Stewart
there.
Touchdown.
With the defender on him, yes. Like, right in his arms. Like, that's beautiful quarterbacking right there. But I thought it started with Dillon Gabriel. I thought the offensive line was amazing. And we've been harping on that offensive line really since the beginning of the year. Like, are they going to be able to hold up most of the year? Yesterday, didn't get sacked.
Yeah.
95.9 QBR, 171 rating. Like, he played an amazing, amazing game yesterday. I don't think he's going to be like in that top three, you know, finalists for the Heisman.
He's going to be on the list. He's got the second best odds as of right now, you know, whether that, you know, keeps on going, but just great quarterback play in general. I did not think Will Howard
was
going to play as good as he did. And he was just as good as Dillon Gabriel during that game. I mean, they were just living on the middle of the field. It felt like throughout the game, it just seemed like any sort of slant that they were going right to the middle of the field, they were getting. But, I mean, for the most part, this defense didn't allow those big plays either on the back end. They didn't let him go over the top. They didn't let – I mean, their biggest, you know, play, what was it? Maybe we got a 38-yard catch from Jeremiah Smith. Other than that, you know, a couple 26, 25. But it was a lot of yak. It was a lot of yards after catch is what it felt like. So, you know, the defense keeping them in check for the most part as well. But, I mean, Will Howard, again, besides that one huge mistake at the end.
Was lights out.
Yeah, fantastic game for him.
He did
a great job avoiding a few sacks himself. I mean, the Ducks didn't get their first sack until the final drive.
Picking up some big third and fourth downs. Like, man, he played a great game. And it sucks for him that slide at the end of the game, which I think we were all kind of looking like, why did he... Did he just slide?
Is that Dak Prescott? Is that Dak?
Well, I mean, not even just did he slide. Did he decide to run the ball at all? Like, why would you break out and decide to run with under six, you know, or under 10 seconds on the clock? Well, I feel like that doesn't become an option unless you know you can get him out of bounds, you know, in time.
So. Well, my whole feelings on that final play is that, you know, I thought that they would have gone for, like, you know, trying to hit a quick slant, you know, because felt like they were gashing the middle of the field all day long with that, where there was dudes in the slot, whatever. He was just hitting a bunch of guys that were going over the middle. Get a quick slant, try and pick up 10 yards, get down, call a timeout. That's kind of what I thought they were going for. Now, I haven't looked at that final play to see what the receivers did, what their routes look like, but that is what I was like, you know, 6 seconds, that's all you have time to do. You know, quick drop back, bam, bam, find a guy. Try and get down 10 yards, you know, just get a little bit of extra yard. And then, you know, kudos to Oregon's defense, not letting any receiver get open and giving him an option. And then when he started to take off, I mean, it was sort of one of those moments where, like, I forgot about everything that was happening when he started to run, where I was like, because then he started to run and he had room to run where I'm like, oh, my God,
he's going
to
make it.
He's going to run this all the way in. He's going to run this down to the five. And then when he slid and went down, I was like, holy F,
this is over.
There's no time left on the clock. And then people start rushing the field, and then the refs get together to start talking about it. And then I told Rashad, I was like, you know, when I'm in the stadium, where I'm at as far as like sight lines, and, you know, he ran so far, I was like, oh man, did he just get a first down? Obviously wasn't even close. And so I was confused why the clock didn't stop at all. And then, you know, obviously he wasn't at the first down mark, so the clock just keeps running. And then once I saw the refs, like, they got together, And then they ran off the field and started running towards the tunnel. I was like, this is over. Like, yeah, the refs are gone. They ain't coming back. This game's over.
Yeah, one turned his mic on, I think, to make an announcement. And then he just said, F it. Like, he turned it off pretty quick. And we didn't hear, you know, any confirmation. But it was pretty obvious, at least on TV, to the announcer that it was immediately over. And yeah. By the way, can I quickly say, like, we need to, in my reflection last night into this morning, we need to frame this game correctly, guys. Oregon, the best team in the Big Ten, just beat Ohio State, the second best team in the Big Ten.
Yes,
and that means they are immediately contenders for the national championship. They're not guaranteed a spot in the college football playoff, but they're close. But they are automatically in the conversation now to be contending for the national championship.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of season left, 6 regular season games left to go. Hopefully, that the way that those games play out, you will be finding yourself in the Big Ten championship, possibly with a rematch against this Ohio State game. And that game's going to be a lot closer to their home than it is Oregon. So you want to talk about showing out.
Absolutely.
At away stadiums.
Gotta,
I mean,
show up.
Hell, you got to show up to that one. But they have put themselves in a very, very good position for a college football playoff spot, regardless if they end up winning the conference or not. They just got to finish strong. They're going to have a tough Purdue team next week.
Oh, yeah, gritty. I think Anthony Newman put it best last night on the post-game scoreboard show, said Purdue is doo-doo.
Oh, they are doo-doo.
So I'm gonna go with that Anthony Newman take
I'm not going to say they're the worst team in the Big 12, Big 10, but they are they're competing for it. You know, I think UCLA right now holds up that doo-doo crown, but Purdue, I mean, they fought their little hearts out against Illinois last night, but fell short.
And I'm going to say this, you know, it's kind of piggybacking on what Jordan was saying, is like as far as Oregon being considered the, you know, one of the best teams, I think Oregon's the best team in the country. Right now, like Texas played a great game yesterday, obviously. But if you start looking at stats, it's like, yeah, well, you know, Oregon played a better team and Oregon had a better game. Like they might be the best team in the country top to bottom right now. Like considering the way that they played yesterday against this amazing Ohio State. And I'm more impressed by what they did against that defense. You know, and so,
yeah, they shredded it.
If they're able to do that against that Ohio State team, then I don't see why. I understand Texas will be the number one team, but if Oregon all of a sudden leapfrogged everybody and was the number one team in the country on Monday, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, and to me, it's just Texas already being number one ranked. Like, you're not going to fall.
Yeah.
You know,
especially after a blowout win against a top 20, you know, 25 team, you're not going to fall. But if the committee decided, hey, man, what Oregon did yesterday was much more impressive than what Texas was able to do yesterday, it wouldn't shock me.
Well, in the way that, you know, Michigan also, since the beginning of the season, since that Texas game, they haven't done themselves a whole lot of favors. I mean, I know they beat USC, but that USC win is starting to lose value. They did beat Minnesota, which is starting to get a little bit better value, but they should have never beat them in the first place, or at least Minnesota should have had a chance at the end to try and beat them. And then them losing to Washington last week, and then Washington gets absolutely blown out against Iowa. You know, I was putting a lot of weight in not just Texas beating Michigan, but how they did it. They went into Ann Arbor. They absolutely dominated. They controlled that line of scrimmage, run game. I mean, they clearly showed how big of a talent gap there was between those two teams, and Texas doing the same against Oklahoma yesterday. So they've been doing everything that they're supposed to do. But right now, the best win in college football is this Oregon win for against Ohio State.
Prime time Saturday night for everybody to see. Like, hey man, that's as big as it gets.
Yeah, let's keep talking about this game because, yeah, we're getting a couple text messages, and I just want to get into this more. I mean, again, one of the biggest games in this state's history as far as athletics go, whether pro, NBA, whether it's college football, whether it's, anything. One of the biggest moments in Oregon sports history last night at Autzen Stadium. We'll get into that. More of the game right here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. JoJo needs a nap.
Yeah, I could definitely use.
I'm sleepy.
Yeah, I could definitely use another couple hours. I probably will. I think today is an order breakfast type of day.
That's good. I'm living my best life. I've had 2 Eggs Benedicts in the last week.
Look at you again. Joe's on some rich dude stuff right now, man. Because went to the game. I've eaten Eggs Benedict twice in a week. What?
Gnar.
No, Cannon Beach is also the nicest place on the coast. Like Joe.
Gnar.
Like, what's all
is
this?
It really? That's what. You
what's
think
all
so?
This money? Well, it's the most expensive.
Oh, for stay. Sure.
So that I would sure. just classify it the nicest because of that.
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
Went to this nice little breakfast spot at Cannon Beach called the Lazy Susan.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's very quaint, small, not a lot of operating room in that place. But man, they make a good eggs benny. They got
just regular, just traditional.
Yeah, I mean they had different variations. You know, could have gone with the Dungeness crab. But, you know.
That's always going to be a pick for me.
But, again, I didn't want he would have had more fodder if I went with the Dungeness crab omelet.
Oh, you'd man,
have been
absolutely.
Like, oh, geez,
you're
of course,
you're
Joe.
Just out there spending all your mortgage. No,
just
huh?
went a traditional ham Eggs Benedict. They did not skimp on the hollandaise sauce.
That's don't skimp on that hollandaise.
No, because I went to a place in off Hawthorne last week after the show last week. And, yeah, they were
stingy with it.
Yes. It was like, it? Come
jam?
On.
Jams on Hawthorne, I think.
No, it was not. I'm not gonna throw him under the bus.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
It was a solid eggs benny, but you know, come on, you know, just give me some more hollandaise.
You're not running out of hollandaise sauce. Like, come on, man. How many people are ordering eggs Benedict all day to where you can't give me some additional hollandaise?
Well,
like,
it's
on,
not
man.
Actually. I am
it's
a
butter and lemon juice and something else. I feel
and
like.
And egg yolks. That's actually
that's
so. You're making a curd. I'll just detract for 30 seconds here. You're making a curd that's kind of if it curdles with the egg actually cooking. It's not Eggs Benedict, so
eating curds and whey.
Sure, but to keep it at temperature after you make it is easy, but making it in such large quantities does take a little bit of effort. So once you run out for the day, you run out for the day. Unfortunately,
that is my political agenda. One of my policies that I will fight for you, my fellow Americans. More hollandaise sauce.
I'm gonna vote for him.
See. Yeah,
you got one.
Yeah,
you
so got right one. In vote for
We're
Joe.
We're on
Fish.
Our way. More hollandaise sauce for you, America.
It'll be so simple.
This is on the text line. I'm still mind blown by the onside kick. Lanning saying it was intentional and something they practiced. I'm gonna say Lanning's true on that. That's intentional. When you dart it, because they're on the 50-yard line, right? Because I forget why. I think it was a penalty on the extra point.
It was
or
like
something.
A face mask or something, the unnecessary roughness or something like that.
So they get the kickoff on the 50, and it's like, hey, this is a perfect opportunity because if we get this, then we're gonna get the ball at the like 45, you know, 40. And I've only seen this, you know, I've probably seen it pulled off somewhere else, but I remember in high school. We pulled this off against a team, and the best part about it was our kicker, he just effing blasted this ball right towards the front line, and it hit the dude right in the balls. Like, just square, right in the D, and he just crumpled, just folded like a pair of twos, and it was one of the greatest things. And then we jumped on it, recovered it, and I responded to the texture. I was like, it is one of the most hilarious, coolest plays in football if a team can pull that off. Yeah, because to get the timing, the right kick to make sure it hits off someone and then recover the kick too, awesome. That was just,
Bobby Boucher.
Oh my God.
It's the Bobby Boucher. You remember that scene in...
Waterboy.
Yeah, in Waterboy when they do the onside kick at the end of the game and
yes.
bounces
right on him. So
like
no, I thought that was really a turning point for Oregon because it seemed like they felt comfortable, you know, in the game. I will say that missed field goal at a point was like, oh my gosh, it's going to be one of those games.
Well, hell, they left 5 points off the board,
right?
Well, they no, they missed the field goal.
The field goal. I'm
missed
like,
the field goal.
Oh gosh,
the extra point.
One of those.
The first extra point was a fumbled snap.
Yeah,
the long
so
snapper.
They tried to throw it and it
so
didn't work.
After
bless
those
his
two
little
plays,
heart, tried to make a play.
After those two plays, I was like, oh, this might be a long, long night.
And then a direct snap a failed two point conversion.
And then all of a sudden they were able to figure it out and it's like, okay.
A lot of mathematicians in the stands last night.
I bet. Yeah,
talking about, you know, if they would have had that field goal and if they would have made that extra point and just gone for the other, we would have fivers.
Just think about
score right now would be like
the interception. Like if that interception gets called at the beginning of the game.
Ohio State handed 7 points at the beginning.
And then
come
you
on.
Missed that field goal right there. That's 10 points. You know, right there, that extra point, that's 11. Like, yo, like this game could have been much different for Oregon without those small mistakes right there, but they were still able to win.
I need to digress, though, a little bit about that interception or what should have been. I can't believe, because they were so quick to review stuff the rest of the game, I can't believe the referees weren't on that. There wasn't somebody in the booth shouting down in his mic like, yo, we need to stop. And then Oregon not calling a timeout in that situation
as
well.
And that's why they did that.
Unexcusable. You've got to let the referees sit in it and be like, okay, should we look at this? Yeah, we really need to.
Shout out to Ohio State for being smart enough to say, run a play now.
Get on the ball.
Quick play. Doesn't matter what it is. Run it right now.
Oh, that's the way that college football goes now, is it's supposed to not be able to allow the players to do that. The referees are supposed to get a signal. Yeah, congrats to Ohio State, but that's not really on them for running that play. This is a massive football referee failure and football team failure on the Oregon Ducks. And thank God they won. Otherwise, you and I would be bitching a lot more about that.
I want a committee and an investigation done now.
If they lost that game yesterday, then that would be the first thing that anybody brought up was that. And one thing we haven't said, and I know we got to spend some time on NFL, but
no, we can keep talking. Dude, this is the biggest win in program.
Jordan's calling the shots now.
I'm with it. If he's in charge, man, but
I'm not. Sorry.
Trayshawn Holden. Yesterday was, I think.
He gave him the old duck tour.
I
saw that tweet.
I think you gotta suspend him for the rest of the season, bro. Like, that's crazy. Number one, let's just be real.
For spitting in the dude's face?
That's the most disrespectful thing you could possibly do to a person, bro.
Trust me, I'm right there with you. Is that, like, because again, being at the stadium, you don't know what's happening. And then someone in front of us like texted her like, oh yeah, it was blatant that he just gave him the ha.
You call me the N-word, you spit in my face. Those are two things that instantly we have to fight. There's no anything like behind it. Like, we have to do this now. You were bold enough to do the most, honestly, think about it. Just some another grown ass man.
Yeah.
Spit, and luckily he was wearing a visor, because if he wasn't wearing that visor, like, he gets spit all
and hot spit on that thing.
Man, all spit on that thing, bro.
Gave him the Bret Hart to Vince McMahon.
Oh, the nastiest loogie that, you know, anybody's all dry mouth and stuff like that. Spit right on Vince McMahon.
Hey, Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, taught me that that's an honor.
Right? Oh, to be able to pull it back up, yeah.
To spit in another man's face like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a high honor.
I like you. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God,
it's a great movie. I'm gonna watch it when.
Aren't I the popular one?
Aren't I the popular one? No, so I thought that was super. Like, you're a grown up and you're a senior. On top of that, like, if this were a freshman or something like that, I'd be like, all right, bro, like, that's super immature. But you're one of the vets on the team. You're not somebody, I mean, not on this Oregon team, but it's a vet that's been playing. Was he at LSU last year, or where?
Who?
Was Trayshawn Holden?
Where he was at Oregon last year, but he was at Alabama.
Coming from a bigger school, excuse me. So I thought he knows better than that. Early in the game, like, he understood immediately what he cost his team. Luckily, they were still able to win. But again, if they don't win and one of your impact players on offense has all of a sudden been tossed out of the game for something stupid, you're looking at this more like, yeah, they gave it up in a lot of different ways.
Last little text on this, and again, the guys Monday through Friday will be breaking down this game all week, I'm sure. Because during a game like this, it's all highs, right?
Absolutely.
Everything went great. There's nothing to work on. You know, it's we just beat Ohio State. You're at the pinnacle, right?
You guys, take a few days off. See you guys on Wednesday.
Yeah, but text line bringing it up. Don't mean to be nitpicky, and no, it's all right. We're all good here. It's a trust tree. Oregon's inability to run the ball inside the 10-yard line is getting concerning. It almost killed them last night, having to settle for a field goal and a 1-point lead with 1:47 left. Last week, it cost us 2 touchdowns. That's Mike in Salem. Very true. I mean, not getting a touchdown at the end of that game with 1:47 left on the clock, that just made me nervous to all hell. And, I mean, really, when you look at how that final drive played out for Ohio State, the fact that Oregon ended up winning that game,
it's crazy.
They literally had the ball on the 28 with, what was it, like 30-something seconds left, 20-something seconds left, and a timeout, and ended up winning that game. So, I mean, we have to be real about it. Oregon escaped. That offensive PI, huge call at the end of the game there, too.
Put him at a field goal range, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was one of those moments where it was looking like, oh, boy. Oregon doesn't seem to usually win these close games at home when they're crazy back and forth and crazy stuff happens, and they pulled it off. But that texter is absolutely right. And then one more just to end this first hour. What a game, fellas. 20-year season ticket holder, and that was by far the best experience. Love to hear that. Normally, after making the trip over the mountains and putting the RV to bed, I'm out. Not last night. Poured another bourbon and just sat on my porch watching highlights.
There you go.
Love it. Yeah.
There you go.
It's hard.
Buzzing.
Oregon fans deserve this last night. I think after all the years of disappointment, and you mentioned it's maybe the biggest game they've ever played. I mean, obviously some national championships and stuff, but as far as in season, Oregon fans deserve this one.
Yeah. We got our highest viewership ever on YouTube this morning for Sports or Football Sunday, I should
say. Hey, how about that? We're
breaking
records.
People loving this Duck stuff.
We're breaking records, baby.
Guess we're going 8 to 10 every morning now, huh?
No, honestly, I bet all these people, and I love you on the YouTube stream, but you're like me where you're just so excited you didn't even sleep, right?
College Saturdays, we'll do that to you. I mean, even when the games end at 11 o'clock on college Saturdays, I'm usually up for another hour and a half just watching highlights of all the games and stuff like that. So, yeah, especially after last night, you know, leaving the stadium, you hang out in the stadium a little bit after, have another beer, another drink, and then even on the drive out, you're in a good mood on the way home. You know, everybody's having a good time. Ryan Cooley's busting out the Jurassic 5 on the car playlist.
Holding on to what's golden.
Oh,
there
yeah.
You go.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, just vibes. Vibes were key last night. Great
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
All right. Hour number two coming up. We got to get into the Beavs. Because, boy, they have some fourth quarter concerns we got to start talking about here soon. Also want to get into some NFL previews. We'll do Who Do You Love at the top of the hour, bottom of the hour, rather, at 9:30. And London game's going on right now. And, boy, there might be another coach that is not going to make their way home after this one.
Jacksonville sucks. Oh, my God.
Is it Jacksonville or is it just Trevor Lawrence?
It might be. It's a little bit of both. I just saw two dropped touchdowns right there, but we'll talk about that.
God, who's the idiot who took them to win the division?
Was that me? Two thumbs, this guy.
Rashad. Was that me?
Is that me?
No, it was definitely me, my friend.
Oh, geez.
I don't know. I'll have to check the spreadsheet. It could have been all three of us.
I think I put a parlay in with the Jags winning the division, so I'm not happy about that.
Is that me?
Hour number two, Football Sunday, right here on 10 of the Fan, coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude. I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skidmark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Do you think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he made playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey. Want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
If I get your friend, I'll pass
Hour number two of Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan. I think I will have myself zero beers today. I think I fulfilled my weekend capacity.
How are your nips doing this morning?
Rock hard, man. I could cut diamonds with these things.
Yeah.
Sheet rock.
Yeah, duck nips.
Oh, yeah. Hard duck nips.
A little more information than I needed, you know, today. But, yeah, it's all good.
I'll show you them during the break.
Oh, okay, come on. We're all feeling that together this
morning.
So, big Ducks win, but we do have to go up the road. Now, they were not in Corvallis yesterday. They were in Reno, Nevada.
Which sucks.
Spent time in Reno. My dad lived in Reno for like a year and a half.
It's actually not too bad.
It sucks. Okay. No,
shut up, Rashad. My parents go for their anniversary every year. I'm not going to let you trash it.
Is it the biggest, littlest city in the world?
Yeah, it's so
See,
weird.
No one cares about it. It's like fake Vegas.
You know what? If you want a Vegas experience. If you want a Vegas experience, but you don't want to pay Vegas prices, go to Reno. There you go.
If you want, like, the old town Las Vegas experience.
No, wrong. They got new casinos there.
Oh.
Wrong.
Man, you can go to A&A and get the same thing right up the road.
I do love me some A&A.
They already sponsor one of our shows, so yeah, hey, that's a much better. No, I went to UNLV, so of course Reno sucks.
Okay.
There you go.
I get it. Sorry. Reno sucks.
It's how Joe feels about the team we're about to talk about.
The Beavs, for the second straight week in the fourth quarter, sucked and let a team get back into it. Now, granted, you know, this time in the fourth quarter, the Beavs went into it up 3 points. It was 24-21. Last week, it was 21-10 that they were leading Colorado State. And then they let Colorado State get back into it, take a lead. The Beavs were able to tie it, go to two overtimes and win that one. Not the case yesterday. And while Giovanni McCoy had one of his better passing games yardage-wise and actually let it go, having back-to-back interceptions late in the game, one of those going for a pick six and letting Nevada start to separate themselves. And again, just fourth quarter, end of game, just blunders and not being able to finish off games for the second straight week. Like, again, you got away with it last week, but then this time you did not, and you let Nevada, a team you should have beat, a team you should have won against. I didn't even know, but I would say that Oregon State was probably favored going into this game. 2.5, so not a big favorite, but still favored, road favorite, and you let one slip away at the end.
So disappointed. If you've been listening to the show, you understand that I've been one of those people who's like, man, Oregon State's schedule, really favorable. Like, there's a big chance after that Oregon loss, they go 11-1 or something like that to end the season and potentially are in that conversation at the end of being in the playoff if, you know, there's not a lot of one-to-one loss teams. And so far this season, they've disappointed. Like you said, the good thing, Giovanni McCoy, best passing game of, I want to say his career, but definitely of the season.
Probably not his career. He had some good games.
He hasn't thrown
his sophomore year at Idaho was pretty.
He hasn't thrown for over 200 yards all season.
No, then, Oregon State before this game legitimately was ranked in like the bottom 10 or 15 in passing offense.
Yeah, they just didn't even throw it.
In the entire country.
Yeah, you know? So the most he's thrown all season was 181 yards, and that was in the second game of the season against San Diego State. He threw 348 yards yesterday. Unfortunately, threw four interceptions in between there. You know, you would think if you cut those number of INTs down, maybe, maybe Oregon State has a chance to win a game. They lost by five, so they were in it clearly, but they just couldn't make it happen in the end. I think you just need more right now, you know, and I don't know if this Oregon State team has, I don't know if they have it in the Pac-2 right now. Like they're definitely the best of the two teams, you know, in the Pac-2 at this point. But Oregon State, you know, 4-2. Like after losing that game to Oregon, you think that you're going to be okay. You've pretty much taken yourself out of any possibility of being in that playoff. So now you just try to finish strong.
It's a pretty frustrating loss for Oregon State. It's the loss for any team that it's because of you. It's not. It's like when you hear Dan Lanning talking about like Oregon is playing Oregon every week. Well, Oregon State just beat Oregon State. Nevada did not beat Oregon State. Really frustrating when your stud quarterback comes in and has that performance in the fourth quarter. Like you can live with a couple of picks, but it's like the first time that I don't know if like they just wanted to transition their offense more to passing now, or like they had to because Jam Griffin was out and they didn't have that double-headed running attack. But I don't know, man. I was pretty confident in McCoy's ability to throw the ball. He had a really good career doing so at Idaho. He can air it out, just hasn't really had that chance to do so yet at Oregon State. We saw some success yesterday, but damn, those two decisions, man, I just can't get over that. I was trying to see like what happened in the fourth quarter, and just bad throws on his part.
The biggest glaring kind of, I guess the most jarring thing as you look at the stat sheet and everything, like, they threw a total of 69 yards if you're Nevada yesterday. 69 passing yards the entire game. That's insane to me.
Well, and one of them was by their running back. One pass, by the way, was a completion by the running back on a trick play. So,
and then you have two running backs that have over 130 yards apiece. Like, they absolutely shredded you, you know, on the ground. There, you couldn't stop the run at all, and that's why they did it. Like, and on the flip side, like, Anthony, if you like running backs, yesterday's game with Oregon State and Nevada was awesome. If you like running backs, because Anthony Hankerson, if you haven't seen him play yet, man, kid's electric, man. 154 yards and three tutties, you know, yesterday. So he was doing his thing, and you just think if maybe Javonte McCoy didn't throw four interceptions, then maybe Oregon State wins this game.
Well, what was a real killer is that They throw the pick six, they're able to respond and cut the lead to, I believe, 5 at that point, and then they are able to get the onside kick and
3 and out.
God! It's just like, when you have that, I mean, that's essentially a turnover right there.
Yeah.
Getting an onside kick, and one of my biggest pet peeves is coming away with 0 points on a turnover. You know, obviously field position comes into what that turnover looks like, but an onside kick, I mean, you're getting that at what? The 40?
45, 40?
Yeah, somewhere near midfield usually. So to not take advantage of that, that was just, I mean, wind out of the sails right there moment. And then you give it back to Nevada, who's able to score 3 plays later.
It was like a 67-yard run, right, by their quarterback, I think?
I believe so, yes.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just such a missed opportunity. And again, to let that game get out of hand like that in the second half, or more so the fourth quarter, just a missed opportunity. Well, just absolutely brutal. A
couple missed tackles on that specific play that we're talking about as well that were infuriating. It's like, wrap up, you guys. Come on.
Yeah, so a little disappointing for me. You know, I think most people know I'm kind of I got love for Oregon State. Like, obviously I don't watch them or, you know, follow them as much as I do the Ducks, but I got love for Oregon State. Like, I want them to do well, especially now that, you know, Big Brother and Eugene is kind of moved on, and you know they're chasing their own kind of destiny right now. I want Oregon State to really find their identity and, you know, become that team that they not used to be, but become something that I think a lot of people in the Northwest can be proud of, whether you follow them or not. Like, those to look at the, you know, box scores at the end of the night and see that, you know, Oregon and Oregon State got big wins, like, yeah, it puts more focus on our little ass state of Oregon.
Yeah. And then Oregon State, I mean, they had a chance at the end there to win it. But again, just, you know, trying to make a play, interception happens, and that's the game. I mean, to have 0 turnovers in the first half and then have multiple interceptions, it's just
the wheels completely fell off.
Well, and it's like understanding that you have to throw the ball. You're trying to keep up with this offense. And to, again, have the best passing game, essentially, as far as yards go, and it looked like it was going well, to then have it coupled with, you know, that many interceptions, one to give the other team points, one to end the game, not being able to take advantage of the onside kick. I mean, it's just, that was a brutal one. That was a tough one for Oregon State, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even want to make fun of them on that one. That's how brutal it was. Yeah. But next week, they gotta get ready. Because Rashad's running Rebs.
We're not playing.
Woo.
We're not playing. We on a mission right now.
I want to say they had a bye week, UNLV.
Yes.
So they did not play last
Coming
week.
Coming off
so.
The loss, right, mm-hmm. after last week?
So against Syracuse, to, we correct.
Talk about, yeah. We're going to talk about that. Against a really good Syracuse team. Like, they were supposed to win that game, but...
I might have lost money on UNLV, so that's why I'm bringing
it. I'll take the one loss. It's, man, if we can get one loss and everybody else gets two, then we can, you know, we can be number 14 in the playoff.
Mm, well, do you guys play Boise State at all? Because if you do... They have a really good running back. I don't know if you've heard.
They do. Yeah, they do. So,
you know. I think it's their final game of the season, yeah. right? Oregon State, Boise State is the, yeah, their final.
I was talking about the running Rebs.
Oh, my bad.
If
I'm
UNLV
sure they do.
Gets Boise State this year, we'll have to take a look. But we're up against it. We'll take a break here, come back. I want to talk about one of these teams in London because, woof, it is not going well. And there might be another quarterback that is left in London looking for a new job and having to dust off the resume here soon. Get to that next here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. This is one of those days where I wish we had another hour.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, a third hour, you know, maybe we should do some after-hour stuff on Instagram.
I mean, you were at the game yesterday. I was working, so yeah.
Judging by your face, Joe.
Yeah, glue me to this chair and let's just go for a long time.
I wish we were required to do another
hour.
There
you go. There you go. Paid to do another hour. There you go.
Yeah. No. Like I said earlier in the show, JoJo sleepy. He needs a nappy poop.
Shoddy tie tie. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is right now.
So like Michael Scott, you have been on record as saying baby num nums, wadio, give me my waddle. Like,
God. Yes, dude, I need to be swaddled and put to bed. I need a nap.
I hear that.
Doug Peterson, fired after this game?
Probably. He's just going to, you know what, why don't you stay in London for a few days? You know, just figure things out on your own. I heard there's an amazing, another football team that's here that you might want to coach. A different kind of football, but
oh, so footy.
Definitely not American.
You want to coach some footy?
Hey, you can take the long-haired
lady. Have some mushy peas.
Take the long-haired lady with you. Like, you know, you guys can stay together, see the sights, go to Big Ben, you know what I mean? Like, do all those things, like, but
have some bangers and mash.
Yeah.
I'm really confused. I mean, I'll have some bangers and mash, but I'm really confused why Doug Peterson would have to stay and have some even if they lose. Didn't they go 9-8 in his first two seasons? I'm pretty sure they made the playoffs, lost to the Chiefs, the eventual Super Bowl champion that year.
Because they suck this year.
Is that because of him?
Well, they are. Also, they're like, in some ways. Also, they're what, like 2-11, 2-12 in their last like 14 games or something like that.
It's not because of him. I mean, it's not. Mind you, is it all because of him, Jordan? No, that's fair. However, you should be much better. And now there are a lot of people, including some here on the show, that had Jacksonville as the team to beat, you know, in the AFC South. And
which is in, you know, hindsight's 2020. Yeah, just a stupid pick.
We all players mess up, you know, so it's all good. But yeah, I think Trevor Lawrence, and we can go through the list, and I'd love to do that with you guys just to see what you think. We can go through the list of quarterbacks right now and just see who's that guy and who's not. And I think for a long time we've been waiting for Trevor Lawrence to be that guy. He's constantly picked within the top, you know, 7-12 quarterbacks in fantasy every year. Like, you know, he can play, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't click all the way. And now you're watching a rookie completely show out in this game. If you're looking at the things that Caleb Williams has been doing, I think the record for a rookie in a game was 3 touchdowns. Well, he's got 4 in this game that they're playing, and he's absolutely demolishing this Jags team. I mean, I don't want to say it's all on Doug Peterson, but Trevor Lawrence has a lot to do with why they haven't been as competitive as I think a lot of people expect the Jags to be.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is something that Jacksonville, I thought it was going to be much better coming into the season, and for multiple weeks throughout the season and 2 in a row, I mean, the secondary has just looked absolutely pathetic. I mean, last week against Indianapolis Colts, they gave up, 21 fourth quarter points to the Colts, I believe it was. After, you know, kind of shutting them down for a few possessions, they decided, like, oh, you know, just do whatever you want. Do whatever you want to our secondary, Joe Flacco. Have a career game where you go off for nearly 350 yards, four touchdowns, whatever it was, no picks, you know. Just do what you want. This is a bad loss, dude. I mean, Chicago was, I don't know if they were favored going into this, but Jacksonville is going to go to 1-5. And as we've seen now, the history of coaches after the London game, we had the first one of the season last week as far as just any coach getting fired, with Robert Saleh getting fired from the Jets, and Aaron Rodgers had nothing to do with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. What, do you, mean? The what coach. Do you mean me?
Absolutely
it's
not.
It's not my fault.
But he's got no problem with
well,
it.
Well, I do find it funny that Nathaniel Hackett doesn't get fired. He just gets demoted.
Well, I'm sick of hearing about how good of a family man Nathaniel Hackett is. Like, hey, guys, if I'm a good person in life, does that mean I'm guaranteed millions of dollars, job opportunity after job opportunity?
I don't care that you're a good dude.
I'm just, well, it's the
being
NFL.
A good dude account. Being a good dude counts. There's tons of people that got jobs just for the fact that they were.
I have not heard once that Nathaniel Hackett is a good family.
I haven't either. That's the first time for me.
Literally, go back and listen to what Ulbrich said in the demotion announcement about Nathaniel Hackett. And once again, you hear all Nathaniel Hackett. He's a great family man. He's a good servant. He's a good person. Like, just what an opportunity.
Ask his wife.
Somebody.
He puts out. All right.
Just don't.
Every night, whatever she wants.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with your
skills. He's
willing
to go there
as an NFL head coach, and you got to stop bringing those up in the same convo.
Hey, he's willing to sacrifice. All right,
you're
that's
talking
what
about
means.
Like his Hall of Fame stuff later on, sure, but not while he's coaching.
Well, we'll see how much of a family man Doug Peterson is, and if he's able to keep his job after this, because the Jaguars are now 1-5 to start this season.
That's grounds for dismissal.
And I'm looking at it. I was the only idiot on this show to take them to win the division. So,
did you really?
Yeah. Congratulations to you, too.
Man, players mess up, man. But
I am the idiot.
I think there's a bigger story here, and it's not Doug Peterson and the Jags. But, man, how about Eberflus and the Bears? Three in a row. And Caleb Williams just played the best game he's played as a professional quarterback in the NFL.
Like,
this team, and next week there's a huge matchup that they have against another super surprising team and super surprising rookie in Jaden Daniels and the Commanders.
Oh, boy.
Like things are working out very well for both of these franchises that were dead in the water.
Things are happening. Things are happening. And I was the only idiot to take the Bears to get a wild card. So that is actually
That's probably going to happen.
That's looking all right now.
Yeah.
But I was an idiot that took the Rams to make the wild card. And so far, not looking great there,
players
Bob.
Mess up, man.
Come on!
Players mess up.
All right, let's take a break. Let's make some picks. Let's lose some money. Try to win some money. Rashad, we have a bit of a controversy here with you.
Because that wasn't here last week because I didn't send my picks in.
Yes, I needed was three picks. Damn
I'm
it!
Sorry, I was my mind state last week was on anything else but football at that point. So
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So that was my fault. Sorry about that, guy. And then my phone died when I was at the doctor.
Can you tell me? Oh, I would have picked.
Oh,
can you go back and be honest and be like,
who won?
You know, I saw this. Oh, I would have picked this.
I definitely would have picked the Bears over the Panthers last week.
Okay. How about you think of it in the break and try to come up with three honest takes that you think in retrospect and hindsight, oh yeah, I would have been right on this. I would have been wrong on that.
I could do that sure.
And we'll give you the record for that.
I'm an honest person. Look at this honest face.
So you you need to go back and look at games from last week, and you got to start looking at games for next week, because who do you love is next? Let's try and win some money. Possibly lose some money, probably more of the latter of those two. But first, Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update. So first things first, Rashad.
Yes.
Let's see if you're an honest man of integrity.
I wouldn't lie to y'all, bro.
Who would have you picked, if that's the right grammar, which it probably isn't, last week?
So
when you were out.
One game I would have picked is for sure the Ravens over the Bengals.
Ravens straight up.
Yeah,
huh?
Ravens straight up. Okay. They absolutely own this Bengals team, you know, for whatever reason. So I don't think I would have bet against them.
Well, how about that? You were right.
Yeah, that's the one. That's actually of the ones I would have picked. That's the one that I actually was right on, is that one. Because the other two, I for sure would have got wrong.
Okay, all right.
I would have taken Colts over the Jags. That clearly didn't happen.
But you were damn close to being right. I took Colts. No, I took Jags -3.5. That was wrong. The Jags had like 8 different opportunities in the fourth quarter to end that game and take like a big lead and just stop letting Joe Flacco pass on them. And they gave up 3 fourth quarter touchdowns. I was pulling my hair out of my skull, and they ended up winning by 3, but I took the 3.5. Damn it.
Yeah. That was pretty bad.
Unbelievable.
But, not as bad as my next one, because it was a, you know, NFC West matchup, and I thought for sure that the Cardinals would fall to the 49ers, and the 49ers might be the most disappointing team in football right now. There's no reason you should have all that talent and still end up, 2-3 or whatever they are on the season. So definitely would have fallen with for that one last week.
And I live bet that game.
Did you?
After the Cardinals scored their first touchdown, because it was 49ers -2.5 on a live bet after that touchdown. I was like, oh, that's good. I'll take that. And one of my favorite things to do right now is during that 1 o'clock slate of games is watch the first half. JoJo gets a nappy in, and then I wake up to see what happened and the final results to either some surprises, maybe not surprises, but last week was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
JoJo woke up from his nappy, and somehow the 49ers decided not to score at all in the second half and let the Cardinals back in and win that game. And then the Giants beating the Seahawks as well. That was tied 10-10, and then they end up winning that one.
Yeah, come on, Seahawks. I think that was probably the biggest surprise of last weekend was the Seahawks going down to the lowly Giants. But I guess they're not as lowly as they once were.
Well, I will give Daniel Jones credit in the game a couple weeks ago, that Thursday night game against the Cowboys, as he did not look that bad. Long passes downfield weren't great, but he was pretty efficient. They converted a lot of third downs. So I thought it was going to be better. Yeah, no Malik Nabor, no Devin Singletary. I mean, they were missing guys. I mean, that had Seahawks written all over it, but it was a trap. It was a trap. The Giants end up winning that. Of my picks, as I mentioned, Jaguars -3.5 did not hit. Dolphins, Patriots, I took the under 36.5 money all day. What was hilarious about that is one of the texters even said, he's like, dude, I would take the under if it was 26.5. Well, that would have hit as well. I think the final score is 15-10 in that game. So you would have hit on the under of 26.5 in that Dolphins-Patriots game. And then I took the over in Bengals-Ravens over 48.5. That for sure hit. Jordan, you were on Bills-Texans over 47.5. Nay there. Ravens -2.5. Boy, you got that by the skin of your teeth. That was
close.
Oh, my God. And then I put for your third one was under 42.5. No teams.
I'm trying to find the one that we picked, brother. Yeah, thanks for listening to me.
I'll have to go and check the archives to see what that is. We will be hanging with bated breath to find out what that was.
I mean, was that Broncos Raiders, I feel like? Then the Broncos just ended up going off?
It could have.
That feels like
well
a number. 42.5, you said?
Yeah, we'll have to double check. Like I said, check the tapes. Check the tapes.
I'll go
there.
Check the tape.
Week 6, though. Right now, as it currently stands, I am 7-5. Rashad is 6-6 after having that man of being a man of integrity. And Jordan still waiting to get that final pick there, and I will give you record. As it stands, though, 6-5 with a possible either win or loss on there. But week 6, I'll get things started. Chargers, Broncos, the over-under right now is 35.5. Which, I mean, I know the Broncos' offense hasn't been amazing. Now, they did go off against the Raiders last week.
It's the Raiders.
The week before was that disgusting, ugly, gross, rainy game against the Jets. But then before that, they put up 27 points. The Chargers coming off of a bye week. I think they're going to be rested. I think they're going to have a good offensive output. I'm going to take that over of 35.5 just because that is just so low.
It's tasty.
No, that's super low, 35. Typically, when you look at over-unders, they're right around 40, 42, something like that. So 35 is incredibly low. I'm going to go with the Eagles versus Browns. Crazy stat, like the Eagles have won 5 of the last 6 games against the Browns. They're 8.5-point favorites, and it's a 42.5, like, over-under. I'm going to go with that 8.5 points just because I think the Eagles are – still trying to find their mojo. But again, whenever you're beating up on the team pretty much, or not even pretty much, every single time you see them.
And you're playing the Browns.
And you're playing the Browns. And you're playing at home. So I'm taking that 8.5 points for the Eagles.
It would be very Eagles-like to let this be like a one-possession game that they barely escape out of.
Absolutely.
That's very true. Let's see here. New England and Houston is in Foxborough today. Just checked the weather report, and it looks like a big old cloud is headed towards Foxborough right at game time. So wondering if it's going to be a rainy mess. The over-under is 38.5. Because of that, I'm taking the under. Do feel like it's a little bit of a gamble, but I've lived there before, and I know when it rains, it rains in Boston. Yeah. So it could definitely be a wet one. If so, the under 38.5 for New England and Houston is hitting.
And I believe Drake May is getting the start today.
It's another factor. And obviously, if he goes off, you know, then the under's cooked.
I feel like that's the most uncomfortable stadium to play in all of football. That weather, when it starts weathering, nah.
Even when it's like 50, it just feels bitter cold there.
Yeah, nah.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah, Drake May is getting the start today.
Yeah, they're not going with Jacoby Brissett again?
No. I felt like that was announced a few days ago.
No, it was. It was like Monday or Tuesday.
Right. All right, my next one. Listen, Cowboys are riding a high after that win over the Steelers, that ugly win where Dak was able to actually clutch up on that final drive, take him down, and convert that fourth down for a touchdown. But this is still the Cowboys. They're still escaping by the skin of their teeth against teams like the Steelers and the Giants. Yes, you are winning road games. You are losing home games, though. You are playing against the Lions, who are a much, 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 much better team. I have the Lions covering that 3.5. I think that they are still pissed about how that game went last year against the Cowboys, that they lost, that they feel like they shouldn't have. Make sure you report. Make sure you report all your linemen to the referees. And I think the Lions end up winning this, showing why they're the class of the NFC, which kind of seems like it's up for grabs. But I think the Lions go and make a statement today against the Cowboys in Dallas. And that would mean Dallas is 0-3 at home to start the year. Lions, -3.5, covering.
I'm going to go with the Buccaneers visiting the Saints today. The Saints started the season super hot, winning two in a row. It looked like Derek Carr was going to be right in that mix for, you know, MVP, just based on the way he played at the beginning of the season. Things have cooled off. They've lost three in a row. They've only scored more than 15 once over the last three games that they've played. The over-under for this game is 42.5. I'm taking the under, and yeah. Bucks versus Jags.
And yeah, lock it in.
Neither of you go on the Cardinals-Green Bay game yet?
Oh, dang it. Go ahead.
Sorry, brother. Well, it might be different.
Luckily, I have another one written down.
Sorry, so you said Bucks, Saints.
The under. Under 42.5, yeah.
Of 42.5. Woof. Okay. Jordan, go ahead, bud.
All right, we got Cardinals at the Green Bay Packers today. Jordan Love hasn't looked so good since he's come back, but apparently Vegas thinks that they're going to win because they're at home or because, like, he's getting healthier. They're a 5.5-point favorite over the Cardinals. Kyler Murray's got the 7th-best QBR right now in the NFL. He's also got Marvin Harrison Jr. Their offense is pretty good. I think Arizona covers the 5.5. I can't believe I'm betting on the Cardinals, but I am.
Cardinals covering the 5.5.
Yes, sir.
Obviously covering spreads is not a victory, but man, if they're able to go into Lambeau and get the victory, that'd be huge. That'd be a huge win for the Arizona Cardinals. I'm going to go with the Steelers-Raiders under. Two of the worst offenses in the league. The Raiders can't run the ball. The Steelers can't throw the ball. The shine has come off of Justin Fields. I think that continues today. What, he had like 130 yards last week or something like that passing. Listen, it was fun for the first few games. Over under on this is 36.5. I am taking the under 36.5 between two of the most putrid offenses in the league. Rashad.
Well, I'm taking probably two of the most dynamic offenses in the league right now, and that's the Ravens going ahead and taking on the Commanders today. Ravens are a 7-point favorite. I'm taking the Commanders to cover. These last few games that
you say that the Ravens are a 7-point favorite?
Yeah, they are.
Hey, this is the battle of the belt line.
Yeah,
Washington versus Baltimore. Yeah, I mean, what the hell?
And if you look at the way Washington's been playing over the past few weeks, obviously the Ravens have found their mojo finally had their big game from Derrick Henry last week. But over the last month.
I think it was 2 weeks ago. Two weeks ago, against the Bills. I mean, he had that big run to seal the victory, to seal the win. But yes, I got you.
If you look at what this Commanders team has been able to do over the last 4 weeks, you know, they've constantly put up over 38 points or 34 points over the last three games that they've played. I love the way Jaden Daniels has been playing. I love the, it's so sounds so weird, but I love the direction that these Washington Commanders are in. I'm taking the Commanders to cover.
Jordan.
I'm going Indianapolis Colts, baby. Joe Flacco, as of an hour ago, announced to get the start versus the Tennessee Titans. They're on the road.
And they're dogs.
They are dogs by just 2 points. So I'm not even taking the plus two. I'm just taking the straight up money line, which is at plus 110 instead of minus 110. I really feel like with old man Joe, they're going to be winning today. So I just simply put, I know that they're down. I think Jonathan Taylor has been...
He's out.
Yeah. He has been out, so they're basically down to their second and third running back. But, hey, old man Joe, baby, that magic alone over Mayo-loving Will Levis and the Titans.
I was going to say, you got to play the Titans off of a bye week?
No.
They're getting their first win. They're trying to get back-to-back wins, baby.
You know, sometimes sitting in a bye week just means that you're, like, coming back and like, continuing to play like crap. It doesn't always mean you're going to be amazing afterwards.
All right, it's Who Do You Love? We'll check the tapes, see what Jordan took last week, and we will wrap things up here on this Football Sunday and send you into Red Zone, whatever the hell game you're going to be watching in this NFL Week 6 action. We do that next, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan. All right, wrap-up show here. Found out that Jordan took the under in Giants-Seahawks last week.
Damn.
I'm sure the result of the game itself were shocking to people. The Seahawks on the schneid right now. Losers of three in a row. Lost to the Lions a couple weeks ago. They lost to the Giants last week. And then on Thursday Night Football, they fall to the San Francisco 49ers. So the 3-0 start for the Seattle Seahawks has now turned into a 3-3 record through 6 weeks.
Yeah, I didn't think Janiel Dones was going to be connecting with anybody.
They're swinging at the air up there in SeaTac right now, man. Like, Seattle is one of those teams that, again, now, like I talked about Oregon State earlier and having love for the Beavs, I have no love for Seattle. I mean, I have no love for, you know, the city of Seattle. Cool. Seahawks, though? No thanks. Mariners? All for it. I'm all in, you know.
What did the Seahawks do to you? I mean, do I have to remind you? You guys were the ones that picked off the interception in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they were all so confident that they just thought that for sure they were just going to beat up on us like they did to San Francisco the year before. Like, nah, fam. Like, I'm not going to do us like that. And then in Seattle, everybody dresses like Soulja Boy Tellem from like 2004. Like, what are y'all doing? Yeah, everybody still wears that. Like, it's like Napoleon Dynamite. They haven't quite caught up with the times down there. So, yeah.
Well, the Seahawks, they obviously are not playing today since they played on Thursday. They have the Falcons next week. That will be intriguing to see what happens there because the Falcons have been playing much better to start than the start of their season. They're coming off of two straight wins. They play the Panthers today. They could be heading into that game 4-2. But I will say, everybody, enjoy your Sunday out there. Red Zone is about to get going here in a few minutes. If there's a certain game that you're going to be locked on in this 10 a.m. slate, then have fun watching that. I will be watching my Cowboys at 125 lose to the Lions. But I hope it's a fun little football Sunday of action for you all out there. Hopefully Drake May does well for your Patriots.
Yeah, that's wishful thinking there.
Big upset coming.
Yeah, we'll see.
Big performance
probably
by Drake
not.
May.
Probably not, but it's all good. New era.
Yeah, you got to be excited about it, right? Number three overall pick. I mean, get his first start.
I don't got to be, but we'll see what's up. Number three, let's make it count.
All right, Jordan, appreciate you as always, sir.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Especially I'm going to go nap as well.
Yeah, late night last night for you and coming in doing the show.
Late night for you as well.
Yes, yes, for different reasons. Rashad, appreciate you for coming in. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, man, yeah, I'm glad to be back with my family, man.
You will see these guys in 2 weeks because I will not be here. In 2 weeks. We get next week off, and then I believe in 2 weeks it's an 8 a.m. show.
Tight. Tight. That's awesome.
So you guys have fun. Football Sunday. Thank you all for tuning in on this Sunday, and we will catch you in 2 weeks. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.